Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply, profoundly grateful I am that we're together once again on this radio program. We like to call it Satsang, and I hope that it helps you. We're going to be looking at where is the now, and I'm going to take a little exception with Mr. Tolle. But before we do all that, I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as the TV programs that we offer that you can see on our website at aspire.org, are all there due to the fact of the generosity of my sponsors. And I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart for caring. Most people just simply don't care anymore these days about anything other than themselves. It's, you know, every man for himself, as it were. And their gifts that they give to serve humankind, to help me go to hospice and do other things that I do to serve humankind, make it possible for you to hear these radio programs. And I hope that you enjoy them and will consider becoming a sponsor. It's a very important thing because, like everything, we all have to pay our bills, airtime and such, and your donations go to do such work. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see a little button there in the middle of the page that says support. If you click on that, a drop-down menu will incur, and you can take a look at why support Aspire. It's a very important offering to understand where your money goes, why it's important, and what we do to serve humankind. And that may be of tremendous help to you in understanding. And you can sign up right from there and become a sponsor. And you get all sorts of wonderful goodies, the message of the month, access to 122 TV discourses I've done over the years, as well as the podcast, video cast, and the commentary, which I think are very important. So there you are. It's all there. I hope that you'll consider becoming a sponsor and helping us. What is this now thing that Tolle made so much money off of, and that Oprah and Tolle, I guess you could say, aspire to, as it were? What does it mean? What are we talking about here? Well, when you start to understand the nature of now, it means the immediacy of what is happening in the moment. And here's the problem. We live in impermanence, and most people don't understand that every single second that goes by. We don't really understand the nature of it. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this now thing. And my first question comes from Jake in Las Vegas, Nevada. Greg, you speak of the idea that there is no now. Everyone would say you are wrong. Why do you say this, Jake, from Nevada, Las Vegas? Listen to me, Jake, and try to understand. Show me the now. The moment you try to show it, it's gone. Now alludes to the idea of time. Now is not time. There is no such thing as time. We have invented this whole idea of time, and we have done it so we could chronicle our actions, our past, our present, our future, things like that. This is what we do. We measure everything. The word now is the present time or moment, according to the dictionary. Well, there is no moment or present time. We make that up. Now, why is that important? Why is it important to understand that this does not exist? Because in our minds, we do things in a logic and a reason that's a chronological order to our logic and reasoning. And if we continue to insist upon the idea that there is time, we will miss exactly what is really going on in not the present, but the here. Time is an illusion, and I create it by emphasizing the idea of the collective unconscious and living in the brutality of it. Do you know what the collective unconscious is? It is the sole proprietor of everything that we draw off of. I call it the, you know, the nurturing breast of society, culture, human beings. Everybody that jumps into this lifetime jumps into it and adds to this collective unconscious with their mentality, their mental acuity. And they think and think and think, and there is this mood, this emotion, this rampant feeling, emotional feeling of desperateness, typically in the collective unconscious. And what it does is it intones and imbibes a fear in people and makes them believe in fear. Oh, this could go wrong. Oh, that could go wrong. Oh, this is bad. Oh, that is bad. I have an uneasy feeling. I don't know what I'm feeling, but I feel uneasy. Then you find your mind kind of coinciding with this collective unconscious without even knowing why. You just kind of feel, boy, something's going on. I don't know what it is. It must be me, yada-da, yada-da. And then before you know it, you're doing the very thing that the masses are doing. And you're living in the mass hysteria, the mass hypnosis that is going on all the time here in this life, here, just right here. Here doesn't last long. Here is about impermanence. It's about the culmination of all the laws and principles of life coming together and formulating a, not a theory, but it formulates mathematics. It makes 2 + 2 = 4. Then when I feel this 2 + 2 = 4, I come to the idea that there can only be 4. Right here, wherever you are in your mind, in your state of evolution into consciousness, is all you and I really have on this planet. To induct an idea of a present time, people say you need to be present, or there is, you know, presence. No, there's presence, obviously. But there is no present time because time does not exist. When I buy into time, I buy into the wear and tear of what the collective unconscious does to my body, to my mind, and to my attitudes, how I look at life, how I perceive life. And when I do something like that, when I am living in that context, I am living not in the present like people would like to think they are. I'm not living here. You have to live in consciousness. Consciousness is the flow of life, eternal life, immortal life. Consciousness is the only thing that we are looking for in the sense of accomplishment. But even then, saying that is blasphemy according to the state of our being. You already have the here, the is of it all. What we do is whenever we allude to the idea of something being a now, we start thinking of, well, if there's a now, there's a future. And then if there's a future, there must be a past. And the only way to really understand what's going on is to look at it from the future or in between the future and the past. And that's so confusing. But if you're here, right here, this is where you are. And if you notice, this here never changes. You approach everything from the here. you approach everything either from your genetics and DNA or for the state of your consciousness. And when you're in consciousness, there is no time at all. There is only the space of here that exists. In this here is your and mine isness. Boy, I'm getting really philosophical with you. I hope this is sticking in you in some way, somewhere. When you go into the idea of a now, now quickly changes over and over and over and over. You can't nail it. But here denotes where you are within yourself. Here denotes how you live within yourself. Here is all. I hope that helps you. And I'm running out of time here. But the basic premise of it all is, Jake, not to be caught in the collective unconscious and to make time more important than what is going on here. It is only here that everything is happening. And here invokes a beauty, a presence, a love, a kindness that exceeds whatever it is that we believe is going on in our minds. The mind is always moving. It's always pursuing. It's always trying to get. When you are here, the mind is no longer pursuing. It is no longer subject to time. And that's the interesting thing about it all. There is no time. Just be with this. If you meditate, you truly understand. If you don't meditate, it sounds like a bunch of philosophical gobbledygook, and I'm going to let it go because even in my ears, I'm sounding like a physiological and psychological gobbledygook. Please forgive me. Namaste. I always tell my students, as we have entered into the teachings of karma and the insights into the laws that pertain to this earthly experience and doing our Tibetan pulsing meditations. We're doing right now Tummo. It's very, very difficult for people to understand things from a rational point of view. And it has to be only understood from the spiritual point of view. And it's very difficult for people to understand that. It's sometimes hard for me to explain it. So you can see what a bummer I am here. Next one comes from Linda in Los Angeles. She writes us often. What is this now? I can't seem to find it. I'm looking for it, Linda. Well, like I said, the minute you think you're in the now, it's gone. Find it, keep it, hold it, look at it, see it for what it is. You can't do it. Because the minute you recognize, oh, here, I'm at, no, it's gone. It can't stay. It has to be understood here. In this world, we are governed by impermanence. Nothing stays the same for long. It really doesn't. You want things to change. You want them to evolve. You want them to mature, to follow their own way, to grow and expand. Can't do that when there's now, because the now turns into the next now and the next now and the next, and it's all garbage. This is just a terminology to keep you thinking that you can think your way into an authentic spiritual practice. You cannot, I cannot, no one can think their way into a spiritual practice. It cannot be done. And if you sit quietly and in total silence, you will start to feel the here and what a blessed event it really is, this here. And you won't need to have any other thing like another moment, the next moment. You won't need it. You and I exist right here. It does not change this here. It is eternal. This here has nothing to do with the wearing away of our body in the climate of this earthly existence, which is being bombarded by the collective unconscious. It has nothing to do with that. Here is not a thing in mind. Here is not a place in thought. Here is all. And when I'm sensing the all, I am here in that all. It perpetuates itself through love in this world. It perpetuates itself through kindness in this world. It heals, it gives, and it forgives, Linda. And it never ceases to amaze me what it can do and what it can bring in the course of our lifetime. It's very interesting. If you try to find the now, you'll miss, because the now is a measure of time. The presence of love is everywhere. It does not need time or even the idea of some now moment. Life is about one thing, and if you get this, it will help you immensely. It's about presence. The presence of a great love that lives within you. It is here. In the presence of love, time disappears. Love is the space of all, of the all that is what created this universe and puts us in accord with the beauty of life and how it moves. It moves not from birth to death. That's what it does here on Earth. It's simply a movement that is in a constant motion, a perpetual love. So when I am meditating, or you are meditating, Linda, and we are dropping the idea of right and wrong, duality in our thinking, when we are dropping the duality of right and wrong, good and bad, when we are living in the state of our beingness and not worried about time and space and all that other stuff, we begin to realize that there is something more to our life than the common mediocrity that most of us get engaged in. If you think your way through your life, Linda, you will miss your entire lifetime. If you think your way through your life, you will miss the little joys. You will miss the opportunity for consciousness. You will miss giving and forgiving. You will miss everything that is occurring because it is occurring according to my karma. And actually, it's trying to help me. It's trying to help me awaken. It's trying to help me come to a place of goodness within me. So, when it is more important for me to awaken than it is to have a life where I'm getting the things that I want for the sake of pleasuring myself, getting gratified, give me gratification or give me death kind of thing. Give me liberty or give me death. That was horse manure. We think that liberty is doing what we want. No. Real liberty is being free of ideas and thoughts. Real liberty is getting liberated from the idea of right and wrong, good and bad. Real liberty is freedom from duality. And should I get involved in anything where duality ceases to have an influence on me, I've entered the here. I've entered into immortality. I've entered into a place that is so divine. It is called love. It is only love that makes life worthwhile. It is only love that makes life worth living. It is only love. And if you understand that, the blessings will occur. They really will. I hope that helps you. Dear Linda, you always write such interesting questions, and I am grateful for your attentions with the radio program and the TV program. Thank you for your kind comments about the Gibran series. I feel they're very important, and I'm grateful you're enjoying them. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's interesting how we miss our entire life. We make up rules in this world that do not exist. We make up ideas that do not exist. And we just make them up and we think it's just perfectly fine to do that. We have no problem with it. But in doing so, we miss. We really do. Okay, the last question. Sue from San Diego. You say there is no here. Oh, excuse me. No, you say there is a here and that we should be attentive to it, quote unquote. Yes, I did. What is the difference between the here, the now, the past, and the future? Sue. Well, Sue, like I said in the other two questions, and forgive me for repeating myself here, but it bears repeating. I've made up time. Even Stephen Hawking understands this. He has done amazing, beautiful work on the whole idea of time and space. And every time he comes up with a theory, he comes up with calculations, he has to ditch them and start all over again. That's what I admire about him and love, is that he's willing to, for the sake of the truth of the matter, put down his facts that sometimes just don't add up, even in his realm. So what are we talking about here? What is time? Well, Stephen Hawking, in his amazing books, negates time over and over and over again, trying to explain it, and then finally giving up. Because in this lifetime, in this world, there appears to be time. We grow old. We start off in birth, and we're young, and we have infant body, and then that body turns into adolescence and then into adulthood. And so people think, well, there must be father time, as they call it, you know, where things go according to the clock. They don't. There is a progression in this lifetime. And so this progression is not always something that can be calculated. But we calculate it because this is what we need to do. It conforms to our thinking so we can control circumstances. And that's what it's all about, being in control. When you no longer wish to be in control of your circumstances, your physical life, and you are willing to have an experience that is beyond the concepts of theory, the concepts that my mind makes up in yours and says, well, this is what's happening, not that. Only because my mind can accept this over that. That's when we start to become really rigid. And we start creating nows and heres and theres. What you can remember about your days in this world have nothing to do with time. What you were in the past, what you've done currently, and what you will do in the future is of no consequence to you other than creating more karma. And if you want to create more karma, this is what you will do. But when you are more interested in the here, the allness that is here, the all of here, as I like to think of it, that's the only way I can put it, you start to realize, I don't want to be captured by concepts of mind. I don't want to be theorized due to concepts of mind. I don't want to be analytical about my life because that's a concept of mind. And anything you will discover when you meditate that the mind can focus in on and create a concept about, a thought, works against your meditation. It actually takes away from everything that you're trying to achieve in meditation. And that makes for a very difficult life, a very, what I call, convoluted life. Meditation is the only thing that brings clarity to our livingness. If you do not meditate, if you do not have that ability or that capacity to sit quietly and do it, you need to develop meditation techniques. You need to develop patience, kindness, forbearance, and, as I always say, simplicity, solitude, and silence. I'm out of here. I'm getting late. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful weekend, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.